Good morning, and welcome to this hour of worship, coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the Transfiguration of our Lord. Pastor Alan Miller is chosen for his sermon topic, Listen, based on Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. The radio broadcast this morning is sponsored by and in celebration of Lester Harm's 97th birthday and Pastor Alan's. This is sponsored by the children of Lester Harms. We thank these children and their spouses.
Good morning. So happy to be here with you all this morning, and what a blessing and privilege it is to be welcomed in the Lord's house together. We know that the Lord is here making himself known in his word and sacrament, and it is a blessing that he invites us to reveal himself to. And it is my prayer this morning that we would be able to hear and to listen to God's life-giving word to us. May our hearts be opened and our minds to receive this morning God's word by faith, and may his power give us the willingness and the power to receive it also. And may we also sing our first hymn together, number 908. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. For the Lord is our God is holy. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Be with you. Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirmed the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's Word. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up. And they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, that I may give you the tablets of stone, with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord had dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 589. Has ears to hear, let him hear. If those words sound familiar to it, it shouldn't be a surprise, because that exact phrase occurs no less than 7 times in the Gospels. And in the book of Revelation, it appears another 7 times. You hear things like that, and you begin to wonder if God is trying to tell us something. But perhaps what is surprising, though, is that when you look into it, you discover that that's just the beginning. Because beyond that, Jesus then gives other commands which seem to just pile upon it. Jesus says things such as, pay attention to what you hear and take care of how you hear. In our gospel reading this morning, we hear from the most surprising of preachers. That is God the Father himself, speaking with a booming voice, saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." When we hear this, beloved, even the most dense among us must conclude that surely God is trying to tell us something. Surely we need to listen. We haven't even said what that is yet. And yet we can still know for certain that this is going to be a message of cosmic proportions. Without even knowing the what, still we can reasonably conclude that this is something vitally important for us. For the mountains have thundered at us, telling us to listen. God the Son has left his heavenly throne and become man to deliver and to bring this message to us. And we have seen prophets and apostles giving their lives in order to continue bringing this message still. In just a little bit, I want to get to what that message is. But before we get there, I want to first talk a moment about this command that we have to listen. Because it is clear, beloved, that God has a message for each one of us. And I want us to see this morning just how frequently God puts the onus upon the hearer to hear it. In America today, we rarely talk about the responsibility of the hearer. We seem to stress only and always the responsibilities and duties of the speaker. There's no shortage of instructions today on how to preach or how to just do public speaking in general. In fact, at the seminary, we had two preaching classes. And unfortunately for all of you, I don't think I got A pluses in either of them. And so I hate to say it, but it would appear that that just means that your job is all the more difficult. Because the eloquence of the messenger doesn't relieve any one of us from the responsibility to listen to it. God has indeed set up his ambassadors, preachers of the gospel, and proclaimers of his word to deliver his message to man. God speaks through the mouths of faithful pastors and preachers, and he expects and even commands people to listen. Of course, the speaker has responsibility too. And of course, I don't plan to or want to make your job of listening any harder than it needs to be by being tedious. But even still, time and again, that responsibility is always placed at every individual's feet. Listen to him. Pay attention to God's word and take heed to what you hear. There's quite a large responsibility which gets placed upon the hearers. How frequently we go to churches and we ask whether or not the preacher is a fluent speaker. We ask if whether or not he's impressive or amusing or does he tell lots of stories. And yet, beloved, the questions we should be asking are, does the preacher preach the word of God? Do I receive the gospel? Do I hear the words of eternal life? For if it's not the faithful word of God that gets proclaimed to us, then truly nothing else matters. If the bread that is set before you proves to be poisoned, it's of small concern whether or not the baker has made it beautiful. And truly, it is better to drink water of life from clay vessels than to drink poison from goblets of gold. Again, of course, it's not the goal to be plain. Again, I don't want to make your job more laborious than necessary, but regardless, no matter how tedious the preaching is, whether that's under me or under any other messenger of God, again, the command inevitably falls back into your own laps. Because whatever God speaks, whenever He speaks, we have the responsibility, an obligation even, to listen, to hear Him attentively. And truly, I know that is a lot easier said than done. As mentioned, the preaching can be dull. The children can be cute, certainly much cuter than me. I am no longer a spring chicken, as many of you know. But also the children, they can be otherwise loud and restless, distracting. From all of these things, we know that our thoughts are prone to wander. And the temptation is to always just let our attention drift. Truly, the spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. And it's the flesh that is always pulling your focus and attention literally everywhere else. I like the analogy. I heard it said how hard it is for a hunter to shoot a running deer. And how difficult it is, beloved, for the preacher, or for that word of God, to strike a wandering mind. When our thoughts are constantly running from one thing to the next, how difficult it is for the truth of God to really hit home and to have its way in your heart. It's certainly because of our digital age, but we live in a time when our attention span is shortened. With flashing screens and rolling advertisements, it conditions us. And because of our lifestyles, we now like to have everything entertaining. And we like to have everything that is spoon-fed to us and things that are easily digestible. And I don't want to sound mean in saying this, but there are a lot of people who seem unable or at least unwilling, it seems, to think. And we like to receive our religion as if through bottles filled with milk, rather than something that we have to chew on, like meat and potatoes. Dear friends, if our screens and media consumption are getting in the way of our ability to give 20 minutes to the hearing of God's word, dare I say that it is our screens that need to go. For who is our God? If you are not able to focus for a handful of minutes a week because the world has conditioned you otherwise, then let us separate ourselves from the world. If we can't handle God's free gift of entertainment, and if we are so prone to abuse it to our spiritual harm, then let us cast it aside, to tear it out and throw it away. The Lord is our God. And we must bring our relation with the world in line with Him instead of curtailing our worship in order to fit in with our culture. We shouldn't think it a trifling thing to hear God's word. It's not a simple work to preach, and it's not child's play to listen either. I'm reminded of how Luther always felt while preaching. He was a man who honestly feared no one. No person under heaven could intimidate him. And he could stand up to the Pope and literally call him the Antichrist to his face. He again stood up against kings and princes, defying everyone who stood against this true word of God. And yet at the same time, it is said that every time Luther went into the pulpit, that his knees would physically knock together. It is a God-fearing thing to stand before people and to claim to speak for him. How terrifying the work to lift up your voice and say, "Thus says the Lord." And yet, in the same proportion of it being a solemn work to preach, it is a solemn work to hear. Truly, it is no light thing to hear a sermon, which is why the command is so necessary. Take heed how you hear. Don't think that listening is a trivial matter. I just want to ask you, is it a proper thing that I should pray so earnestly to faithfully bring God's word and blessing to you, and that you should not likewise pray to receive it? We can't assume that just because we come up those steps and take our seats in the pews, that we are ready to receive God's word. There ought to be preparation both on your part and on mine. There is a duty that's placed upon the preacher and the listener alike. There's actually a proverb which Jesus gives us in Mark's gospel. And I was actually surprised at this. I can't believe I hadn't really noticed it before this week. But in Mark chapter 4, Jesus says, "Pay attention to what you hear, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Which means that if you come to listen to God's word flippantly, carelessly, or heedlessly, don't expect to be edified by the message. For with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. If you come to the sermon or to the service at large, seeking faults and for reasons to reject it, I assure you, you are going to find reasons. But how little benefit will you get from your hearing? And rather than receiving a benefit, how many of us will we hear to our detriment? As the Lord commissioned Isaiah, saying, "Preach until their ears grow dull and until their hearts grow cold." Many multitudes have heard hundreds, if not thousands, of sermons, but they haven't been benefited by them. For indeed, you can hear to the callousing of your heart, which is why the Lord gives us that command to listen and to pay attention so often. Rather, the person who comes intentionally, attentively, faithfully, and trustfully will from their listening receive blessing in return. For with the measure they use, it shall be measured unto them, and more shall be given. So we do take heed to how we hear, beloved, paying attention to the word of God and listening to Christ the Lord as he speaks through his ambassadors. For here is a most precious truth which is proclaimed to us this morning. A truth which, when heeded, proves to save our very souls. For the Lord God has come to bring life and forgiveness to man. We see Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and we know that he comes to fulfill what is written in the laws and the prophets. We hear and we see Moses and Elijah standing around him, bearing witness that it is Jesus of whom they all spoke. This is the great prophet, God in human flesh. This is he who has come to die for the forgiveness of sins. This is the one whose stripes we are healed, and whose death we are baptized into, and in whose righteousness we shall stand on the last day, clothed in white. We hear this message that Jesus has come to be a Savior and mediator between God and man, giving his life on the cross to wash away all sin and guilt. You who are sick and wounded, hear the gospel from the heavenly physician. You who are bankrupt debtors, listen to the good news of the one who has come to pay your debts for you with his own precious blood. Nothing of my own I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. It's amazing how we'll listen attentively to things that we know concern us. Lastly, I just thank God that I've never experienced it myself, but I'm reminded of those times when lawyers read the last will and testament to the surviving family. It's a very dull reading. It's so matter-of-factly. It's often dry. It's monotoned. And yet you can always picture the family all standing around, hanging upon every word. They hear their name spoken in the will, and you know that their ears perk up. They know that this concerns them. And beloved, such is how we should be attentive to hear the gospel. For this concerns not just our life on earth, but these words concern your eternity. Hear the gospel and all the promises which God is leaving with you today. A promise to be with you. A promise to come again. To prepare a place for you. Mansions in the sky for us. To you, my children, God says, I give you love unending. Grace and forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb. How blessed it is to hear God's gospel, to cling upon every syllable. For through Jesus, the Lord has promised to give us life eternal. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Gracious Father, we thank you that you indeed hear us. Though we are nothing of significance in ourselves, yet you still love us. And you love to tune your heart and eyes into our direction every minute of the day. And so, Father, we praise you that you so love to hear and listen to us that you even command us to pray. We praise your holy name, knowing that you are always there listening, answering, and working through our prayers and in our situations. And as you so listen to us, Lord, knowing that you know all things, you know what's on our lips before we even say a word, we ask that you would lead us also to listen to you as well. As we read your word and hear it preached, teach us to listen and teach us what to pray for. May our words and our prayers and our actions be pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And giver of life, From you comes all good things. And through faith in your word, you bestow your priceless and everlasting promises. Give us a hunger for your word. Give us that spirit which overcomes the desires of the flesh. And lead us to put to death the old Adam that's within us. Raise us rather daily to newness of life as we grow in our faith and our love and in our dependence upon you. Lord, in your mercy. And great physician, we come before you this morning asking for your tender mercy. We humbly plead that you would have compassion upon us, and as your servants, provide for us all that we need for body and life. This morning, we especially lift before you those on our hearts and minds. We lift these before your throne, trusting in your wisdom and grace to work all things mightily in accordance with your good plan. We pray again for Sue Nicholson and her family as they continue to grieve the passing of Nick. Continue to grant them your peace and strength, and give them the comfort from your promises as he was dedicated to his resting place until you raise the dead. Lord, we ask that you would just comfort them with the knowledge that you are coming again to bring life to your faithful children. And we pray also this morning for Lois Giesecke as she got a pacemaker put in yesterday. We thank you for a successful surgery, and we just further ask that you would continue to give her rest and healing. Watch over her heart and give her the strength and rhythm that she needs. For all who are hurting in body and soul, for those whose jobs are dangerous and difficult, for military and first responders, for missionaries and teachers, for fathers and mothers also, Lord, we ask that you would watch over these and call them and keep them until that final day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, Father, we thank you for all your wonderful gifts, for anniversaries and birthdays, for good weather and peaceful days. We praise you for keeping watch over us and giving us far more abundantly than what we have ever even dreamed of asking you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and at this time we worship God with our offerings. Thank you. Would you please stand for the service of the sacrament? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise, now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. Depart with his peace and with his joy. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, 814.